West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Kia ora, talofa. Welcome to another episode of 1-5 Footy Show, proudly part of the Wes Wes Network. Welcome in my co-host, YA CEO. How's it going, mate?
My lord, Barry. Good, brother. My lord, lover. Welcome to all those listeners, bro.
That's Easter episode, mate. You don't take a holiday on Easter Monday anymore, mate. You're working hard. What's going on?
I've enjoyed having the Easter break, bro. Good chance to see the 42, eh? So it's good to chill out with friends and relaxing at home, bro. How was yours?
Yeah, nice little getaway. Got away with the missus up north. Little batch up there. Did a few bit of surf casting. Just off the dock up there. Caught a seal. She got an undersized snapper. She said it doesn't count, so we threw that back. But yeah, no, just a bit of time off grid, unplugged. So yeah, quick turnaround, mate. Caught me off guard with this quick turnaround on these games, but a lot of good footy to get into on round four, man. Again, it's so shocking. Just the quality of the games we're seeing. Feels like the footy's been back on for a while now. Just the standard that everyone's playing it. How are you seeing this week, man? You jumping into it pretty quick. Excited you caught most of the games?
Yeah, most of them, bro. Obviously, the Thursday one we were on, that was on. And, I don't know if you can call it at the moment because... it's been a lot more even than last year, but yeah, no, you could call the today's one an upset. I definitely picked the Eels. That was an awesome game. Saturday's game, the Dragons, Sea Eagles, that was kind of an upset, man. I'll have to double check, but I called it as the Dragons win being down there, but definitely on form. You would have to say that was an upset, bro. So. And the Broncos Cowboys, even though I always back my Broncos at home at Suncorp, still to put 38 points on or previous ladder leaders, the Cowboys, who have been on fire. That was just the way they they fussied them with their scoreline. That was a bit of a shocker, bro. So, and the Rabbitohs, bro, first win of the season against the Flying Doggies, bro. So, yeah, man, the round's been a bit funny, man. It's been you can't really get a read on teams quite yet. I think maybe the only team that's soldiering on from the last 4 years is the Panthers, bro. You know, everyone else, apart from that, still finding their stride.
Man, the Panthers are looking good. You actually called the Roosters on this game. I think, you know, off the back of the, you know, the last couple of weeks, and they've looked so good. For Jared Warrior Hargrave's 300th last week as well. So I think they really got you up on your heels, and so much so, I noticed that your captain for the Valle Bronx was... who'd you have in there as your captain, mate?
Dom Young.
The flying Dom Young and, of his heroics from the week before got you excited.
Yeah, and I picked him because I picked a Roosters win, bro. And he ended up scoring 15 points, bro. 15 points. And he had a lot of touches, but you know what? I think they targeted him, bro.
Yeah.
I picked him because, you know, he's renowned for his, you know, like everyone knows his finishing capabilities, but he can really hit the ball up, man, and can start the sets off really well. But solely on Thursday, bro, they targeted him big time. Every time he caught the ball for a hit-up, bro, they fussied him, man. And I don't know what his stats was, bro, but he had plenty of chances to touch the ball, bro, but he just got – they had like three or four on him every time, man. But, yeah, interesting, bro. You look at that – I picked them, bro, because one, the Roosters were flying high, but just on paper, man.
Yeah.
So look, they got Dick 22-16. I like it kind of flattered the Roosters by the end of it.
Yeah, but, especially with the Giants in that Roosters back line, you just think.
Exactly. On paper, they had
guys, like,
close to their strongest team against a Panthers team that was missing their best prop and their best number seven, bro. So that's the scary thing about it, man, is that the Panthers don't lose nothing, man. And I was looking forward to seeing Scudamore, Jerome, Luai, a bit of a leadership role and being, controlling the game. Solo, he didn't have to, man. Yeah. This new fella, man, Schneider. Bro, Solo, he just came in and just did exactly what Cleary does, would bro.
Do, just plug the game. Yeah, just
ask Cleary, but Solo, just that Formula A that the Panthers have, bro. They just roll down, man, at the back of the work that the wingers do starting their sets off.
Oh, man, yeah, talk about the wingers and Edwards at the back. What a meter eater. Like the week before, 300 meters and then over 250 in this one. Just crazy numbers, that the work that he puts in, eh? And then there's that try that he scores, like basically nothing happening, and then he just skips and scores, just runs through and scores that try after he set one up before it. That next man up mentality, eh? Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing, bro. That the system makes it so easy for these guys to come in, like Schneider, and you lose your best number seven. But Schneider's like, boss, he didn't have to do anything out of the ordinary, bro. Just do his job.
Mm.
But you mentioned the rooms, Sol, Teruva, To'o, and Edwards at the back. Everyone knows what they're going to do, bro. They're going to smash it, tackle one, tackle two. But it's one thing to call it. It's another thing to stop it, bro. And these guys got this body, this king away, like short, stocky, low to the ground, man. Low center of gravity, bro. Compared to guys like, you look at Dom Young and...
Yeah, those Giants.
Anu and Tupou. Yeah. Like, man, he's a legend of a winger, especially for the Roosters. But he had a shocker with his hands, bro. And these guys are tall athletes, bro. Big athletes. But it's just one thing to really kind of appreciate is these short, stocky wingers, bro. It's just hard to tackle labels. And that's the game plan, bro. These guys, one, tackle two, tackle three. By the time Leota, by the time these forwards get their hands on the ball, bro, they're already rolling down close to, like, past the halfway mark. And it's almost like the forwards can have a bit of a rest for when it comes to defense.
Just defense,
and on defense, they tackle one and two. They're all flying out of the line, bros. Man, it's scary to think because they were missing two of their top players. Yeah, they fussied like one of the top teams of the comp, Roosters.
Yeah. There was a controversial call in that game. The Joey Manu try. Looked like a try all day. And then they got pulled up for Jared Waiwera Hargreaves going through the line and obstructing Dylan Edwards. So so that was a big call. Like, what's the line? Like, he's way past that main defending line. Dylan Edwards is choosing that line that he runs. So that was I don't know.
He milked it good too.
Yeah.
Edwards.
Yeah.
It's similar to last week's Busiki. I caught it last week how it is Busiki, but it is the right call. Mm. And same thing for this. But it's almost like by the book, it does kind of like, you know, it's up to that forward, that front runner to not get into anyone's lane or get into the way of where the defender's running. But just the how far away from the ball he was.
Yeah.
And this just goes to show, like, I don't know if they're going to make changes or something, but the difference between that level, professional level, and everything underneath it, like everything underneath it, like all these levels from Queensland Cup down, that doesn't require like video refs to get involved. Referee it's just calls on instinct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, if it's not going to affect the play,
yeah,
they make their own judgment, like their own call. Whereas when it gets to the top level, it's a black and white thing. And which is just a bit ridiculous, bro, because there's so many awesome tries. They call back for obstruction. Yeah. And then you look back on it, it's like, solely, that obstruction was so far away from the ball that this guy was not going to get to it, bro. And like, it's so easy to for the defenders to just milk that penalty all day of the week.
Very good, mate. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk around that one. And maybe there are going to be some changes coming because, yeah, a lot of these obstruction calls over the last few weeks have been contentious. So, yeah, I think there might be something coming in that space. Anything else from that Roosters game?
Nah, not really, bro. Like I said, it was a bit of a shock that the way they dismantled them, but nah.
As a Queenslander, I don't know if you saw anything between the two fullbacks there. I think Teddy still had a solid game, but was that a bit of a trial?
Well, what's this, the two fullbacks for... Yeah,
between the two fullbacks for New South Wales and Panthers.
Oh, I think being the captain, it's going to be his to lose. But in saying that, Sully, it's a new coach, eh, bro? So who knows? He might come in and say it's all on form now. But to be fair, he probably has been the form...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Dylan Neils just keeps doing what he keeps doing. Mm. But I do agree that Tedesco, Teddy's... definitely had a better start to the season than he did last year, bro. But fuck, who cares, man? It's fucking New South Wales, bro. Don't ask me that, man.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the next game. The Rabbits holding on to a 2016 win over the Doggies. Your thoughts in terms of the Rabbits? This their bounce back, or you're not convinced off the back of that?
I'm happy for the players that they, you know, they got too good of a roster to be losing, bro. The game itself, I don't think it went to greater heights. To be honest with you, bro, I don't see these two teams really making a dent in the competition, man. I see them both missing out on the eight. I wasn't convincing enough. Like, Doggies have been playing really well compared to last year, but like I said, I don't see the Doggies making it in the eight. So for the Rabbitohs to beat them just too, and it was a fair competition, man. It was a fair game. Probably the one thing that stood out for me was like after the game. I don't know if you saw the Waifu Scummer went off injured after the trial did
a little drop. Oh, Eric.
Ado Carr went off injured, right?
Latrell sat on his face.
I'm not too sure. I don't think Latrell was the reason why he got injured. I think he was like injured before that.
But I thought it was a shoulder again.
A bit of a cheap shot because, you know, he didn't have to, but he was already out.
Yeah.
But fuck, the abuse he cops say online and stuff like that. And I always tell you, it was like, man, I shouldn't read the comments, but I can't help myself, bro. And you know what? These comments, bro, they come from Barangis, bro.
Yeah, just hating. Barangis
don't like cocky, brown, black people, you know, acting out, being cocky like that. And all it takes is for one little grubby act. And like that's kind of a downside of Latrell, like, he plays the game on the borderline, bro. Goes hard, and he's got a bit of niggle into him.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like that, you're just making these people crawl out of the rock and fucking start being racist, eh? They're saying, oh, Latrell's a bit of a, you know, he gets special treatment. If anyone else, they would have got, you know, put on
report for
that. That was nothing, bro. Like I said, I don't think it injured him. I think he was already injured from the tackle.
He looked like he was already screaming, but he does get a lot of flack. Like, it's interesting. Just I guess because he's such a star, people expect, you know, a certain level. But when I look at Latrell, you know, you mentioned it last week, the style of play, you know, he's not like a Dylan Edwards who's a meat eater, you know. And then you look at that Panthers back line. So Taruva, with his three tries last week, ran for 140 meters. So you look at his stats over the last four weeks, he's, 207, 134, 120, and 140 per game. So he's not the big meter eater either. But then you've got Dylan Edwards carrying his weight in, 195, 309, 265, total 243, 263. And then you look at Johnston and Milne, those guys are averaging like 96, 128 meters, 150. Mm. And everyone's like putting it on Latrell, but it's like, what are these two? If they're doing the same kind of game plan, because no one's doing it in the front. You look at the numbers from Totola and them, they're rubbish. Like 115, 118 from him, 87 from Jairo. It's like, guys, like the meters aren't coming from the front either, yet everyone wants to dig on Latrell.
Latrell, and because Latrell is the kind of player he is, like, he'll win you the game on brilliance, whether it's through his physicality or through his silky skills. But he ain't gonna win you the ball game through his sheer engine and like helping out the forwards like Dylan Edwards does. Dylan Edwards, he's just a busy fullback, and that's his style. But like, if the game's on the line. The game's on the line, and the fences are tight, and you need someone to pull a rabbit out of the hat. I'd rather have fucking Latrell with the ball in his hands rather than Dylan Edwards. So I'll just say that because you can say Dylan Edwards is a more productive fullback in terms of that, but Latrell Mitchell, whether you like it or not, he will still win you games through his own style, man, his own individual style. But you make a good point, bro. You got to surround him with the right people. And in Alex Johnson, who is over the next year or two, he's close to smashing the record for most tries. Mm. He's always been that kind of person, just a finisher. He's not really renowned for these Taruva and Tall like numbers helping out the backs. And on the other side, who they got? Tane Milne. They need more from him, bro. Mm-hmm. They need more because, like you said,
he's obviously there to be the battering ram to,
buy the meters. Well, I just think the forwards need a hand.
Yeah.
The forwards need these back four or five to really, like, help them out bringing the ball out of hand because they're getting dominated, man, on defense. So, they definitely need to be some changes, but they don't look like they got too much depth in those areas, bro. And saying that also, like, and all it takes are another couple of losses in the next month, bro. And old mate there, Demetrios, bro, he's gonna be on the chopping block.
It's gonna be the new headline. Yeah, exactly. In terms of headlines and coaches, what about the Doggies? One they should be disappointed in. I guess the Rabbits weren't running the best, like you said. You're not expecting too much from them, but is this something they should have been aiming up for?
Oh, yeah, definitely should be disappointed, especially losing 20-16. They both scored three tries. The difference in there, Latrell got a couple of penalty goals, and Brenton missing one. So, if you come that close in the NRL, but you should be trying to win these games. But the whole point is we don't have the same expectation on the Doggies. They're still playing better than they did last year, but within their own locker room, they probably will be disappointed, but just in terms of us watching the fan, watching the game, if you're a Doggies fan, you kind of rue that opportunity, because Rabbitohs are down on confidence, bro, and this will have been the best time to get them.
Yeah. All right. Straight after that game, one you would have stayed up for, mate. The Broncos coming in strong against the Cowboys. What was it like about this one? Especially with a lot of, like you were saying, having key players out, your main fullback, your starting fullback, your starting prop, still both out. I guess what you'd expect and hope from a number seven world class. Reynolds pretty much ran the show on that game.
Yeah, bro. Well, that loss, the week before, I basically showed just how valuable Reynolds is, man. We were missing Ben Haas as well, but Friday night just proved that we've got some players. We've got a handful of young ones there in the pack that can stand up, bro. But in terms of Reynolds and what he brings, man, that's irreplaceable, bro. We need him to start most games this year for us to have a chance. And he was just Bucky. He made it a nightmare for fucking Drinkwater, bro. He was kicking these bombs, bro. That was
swinging,
moving all over the place. Yeah, Drinkwater dropped a couple. But what was more pleasing is just seeing their attack. It was a game where I was pissing down on that Friday night. But they moved the ball around, and that's what the pleasing thing about the Broncos is. Why I'm a fan, bro, is they're not your attacking wise, bro. They don't follow the formula like a lot of other teams. They don't just chuck block plays at you. They like to move the ball around, bro. They've got athletes on the edges, and it was good to see that come back this year, bro. We haven't really clicked up until then. But that and just the performance of these young ones, the bench, was kind of criticizing the bench the last few weeks, how we just kind of lost a little bit of impetus when Haas comes off and if Carrigan's not there. But Xavier Willison, man, I've been waiting for this guy to make an appearance.
He had a really good game.
He was huge, man. And I think Scummo, Taupau, like, man, I respect what this guy's done in the game, bro, but I think he's made way for these youngsters to
Willison really impressed. Not just, like, not going for big tackles, but a lot of effort, just a big body, but I saw him getting back and working hard, you know, getting off tackles as quick as he could, trying to be real safe in the way he played. So, yeah, real impressed by I don't know much about him, but, yeah, he looks the goods. He's... Yeah, hard worker. So yeah, that's always good to see from a young kid.
And then
kid.
And Jaden Hunt come on to start at second row for Piakuto, who was out. And he had a good game, bro. On the second row. You know, I said it last year that like when Walters let go of Waifu, that's gone to the Warriors.
Capewell.
That we, you know, we got some young'uns to cover him. Mm-hmm. But just that first couple of weeks, bro, especially with Piakura getting injured, it was like, damn, we're really missing that kind of player like Capewell who can cover outside. He's played in the centres. He can defend out there. But having guys like Jaden Hunt who hasn't really, for his debut, but, you know, there's a lot of potential ills. Willison, Hetherington, a lot stronger than what he was. And then it was good to see Oates.
Good to see Oates.
It was interesting how Oates, he put him on in the last 15 minutes. But totally, he scored, eh?
Bro, especially to have that. That's good for not just the team, but the club when you can, you know, like a club hero and you see him come back and do that, you know, that's what kind of kind of brings the team up as well, you know, with everything, you know, the injuries and stuff. And when you kind of have those kind of guys that come back into the team like a real, you know, club person that people identify from, you know, as part of your club. And then, you know, that really kind of, I think him scoring as well just really set the tone for that game for the Bronx, man.
It'll be interesting going forward, like, I don't know. He had the luxury of bringing him on with like 12 minutes, 15 minutes to go because we were already ahead on the scoreboard. But I don't know. He's a good cover in terms of, you know, he can play in the back line. If we get an injury in the back three or someone goes down in centre, you can move some people around. But, I don't know. Saying that, it's a hard win to judge. There was definitely a better position, performance from the Broncos, but Cowboys were going, man. Their completion rate was down. Broncos forced them to make a lot of errors, but they got blasted from their coach and gave them a decent spray there in the post match.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing with the Cowboys, and they've been like that. The first week they looked really solid, and then after that, all their games they've kind of just gotten home and kind of looked a bit shaky. So I think it's, I don't know what's happening at the Cowboys. Like, you know, they've got the class to finish it.
Yeah. They don't strike me as a real kind of tough defensive starchy team. They're kind of like a team that like will score more points than you. You know, that kind of team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you know, I think I called them an eight, but it's still early days for both teams, bro. Broncos haven't been. That's probably their best performance, but they haven't been consistent at all.
Mm. Yeah. One thing in terms of next man up, just one I wanted to point out, and Stace pointed out as well last week, Tristan Saylor. You know, just been stepping up every time he's been caught in there. Is he one you look at the comp at the moment and I can see a few teams who could use someone like him as a starting fullback. You know, such a shame to see him as being left on the bench as cover, you know, for injury. Because, you know, if injury free, he's going to be on that bench for a long time. But your thoughts, I guess, you know, so much depth being able to hold him. Is it a, you know, maybe a disservice to him, though?
Well, he definitely is going to, I think he's signed this year and next year. But outside of that, bro, surely if the Broncos, and they will, get Rhys Walsh's signature, well, apparently they agreed to terms, but Rhys Walsh hasn't officially signed yet. But
the contract.
Agreed to terms means that's one of those, yeah, king. But if that's going to be long-term, then if you're a sailor, you'll be like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Definitely going to move around. And like you said, bro, there's a lot of teams who will do, man, for a backup fullback, how good, man. What a luxury to have someone like him.
I'd start and he's him not, at somewhere like the Dogs.
He doesn't he's have the size.
Dogs.
Yeah.
You'd start him at the Dogs.
Totally. Over Taff all day.
Yeah, exactly.
No disrespect to Taff, but he's one of these guys, like similar to Rhys Walsh, bro. Just quick, nimble feet, awesome ball player. Doesn't have
just
the size,
effort,
but
just around, just always around in the right places.
Exactly, bro, and safe. But nah, respect to him, bro. I think he signed this year, next year, so I think he knows, bro. He's gonna get a ring first, and then he'll go and piss off and get a starting line, get starting fullback spot.
Go follow the qualm somewhere else.
Wants to follow his dad's footsteps, bro. Get a ring with the Broncos and then move on.
And then go to the Red V. Speaking of the Red V, mate, getting up against the Manly Sea Eagles. Yeah, good win by the Doggies, actually. Good to see them stand up. Manly had a pretty quick start. You know, they had that restart. They got a bit lucky, and then I think Tola scored. And I kind of thought Manly might just go on with this. Who'd you go for in this game? I think you actually went with the Dragons. Yeah,
I
you
picked up the Eagles.
Yeah, you picked Dragons. Me and Stace both went Manly for this.
Yeah. But I was still surprised, bro. I was pleasantly surprised because Manly came out. I think they came out early for a lead, or
They got the early try.
Yeah, Sorley. What about the try that Turbo set up? Fuck, he had like four or five players on him, and he pulled out this fucking offload. Out of the blue. But then after that, for the rest of the game, he fucking had butterfingers, bro, and had a shocker.
Yeah. Butters, all right.
Yeah. But Dragons, bro, they showed a lot of heart, man, a lot of determination. I think their new coach, Flanagan's been a real difference. Outside of last week, which was a disappointing loss, they're definitely a better team than last year. But if you look at their lineup, bro, there's some quality players there, bro. They got a few 100, 150, 200 gamers and Jack Bird, Ben Hunt. They've got, you know, the All-Stars there in the back row, Stua and Leilua. Faitala Mariner, who's been around the block now. Good to see Faitala Mariner. I don't want to say resurrect because he was actually the Doggies captain last year. He left the Doggies under, not so good terms. They basically fucking got rid of him. So he's still fucking quality, man. So he pumped out some mean minutes there for the Dragons, bro. And they got Jack DeBellin coming off the bench, who, you know, arguably he's not the same DeBellin before he went. But bro, I mean, this guy's been there, done that, bro. So you got to say they've got the foundations for a decent team, bro. I just believe they're underperformed. So if they actually perform to the quality players they have, like Lomax, Sloan, they're outside Sully and Bird. There's some quality centers. Ravalawa, they got some strong wingers who can bring the ball back. And they got some X Factor in Sloan. So good to see Flanagan. He looks a bit happier and a bit more confidence. I thought Flanagan always had the tools to become a good player. I think the way Roosters just fucking got rid of him after that 1 year, they just brought him cut through day, yeah. It just, the confidence wasn't there, right? So, playing under your dad, that helps.
The effort areas from, you know, the guys that stood up, you know, Jaden Sua got back to chase a kick and got it back out of the end goal. Luciano, you know, he had a big game. Even Lomax, you know, he saved a ball, you know, working hard. Especially with, you know, a lot of the talk around him wanting to move. So it's good for him, like even with Faitala Mariner, you know, just guys that have kind of gone through these same situations. So I don't know if they're all talking to each other, kind of understanding what it's like to be in that position at a club that doesn't want you or you don't want to be there. So, yeah, it's just good to see these guys kind of putting in that effort and, you know, whatever's happening outside doesn't affecting the way they're playing.
I thought when putting Bird at centre was a good move. But I actually thought putting Lomax at winger might turn him into like a Bali guy. But he's actually been fucking playing awesome. And it's been a bit of a masterstroke from the coach because sometimes he pushes that pass a lot and makes some errors. Whereas as a winger, it's your.
Because he's a greedy guy, so it's good.
Exactly, bro. So you can just go hard and don't have to worry about setting people up with a pass. Just fucking run the ball.
Gutsy one from the Doggies. I mean, sorry, from the Dragons. Manly, that's two in a row for them. I don't know if if just Tommy was a bit off or what was going on there. I don't know if his timing was just a bit out.
Yeah. And that's just underperformance, bro. That's just, look at that team, bro. They are mean. And when they all play to the potential, week one, week two, week three, we know what they can do, bro. But this competition, bro, it doesn't take much. You got to be off just a couple of percent, and teams will fucking punish you, bro. That's down to the players, bro, and it just makes as a Manly fan, bro, you'll be disappointed because they come out of the block strong their first 2 weeks, and we get two losses now, bro. So I don't know if Seabold's coaching technique starting to make its infiltrate, or whether just, you know, the players are just, you know, take that one on the chin, just not performing.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about coming out of the block strong, the Titans against the Dolphins came out of the block strong. Couple of quick tries, Jamie Joloff, Philip Sami, and then I don't know what happened. They racked the queue and went home.
Well, out of all the teams, bro, they seem to be probably the most disappointing and the most underperforming, like inconsistently bad for, you know, this is like three games. They had a bye, but just the way they've lost the three games by big margins, and Dolphins, it was almost that game was similar to what the Dolphins did to them last year, bro. for the first half last year, Titans come out and were, I think they had a 20-something point lead.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Dolphins chased them down.
Queensland up.
Same thing with this game, bro. It just kind of showed how brittle Titans are, bro. You know, one thing doesn't go your way, and then you start fucking missing tackles, or you start getting these penalties, and you can't defend your errors, or you can't defend penalties, bro. And fucking Dolphins just scored way too easy, man. I don't know about you, but like, they're definitely not wooden spoon material, bro. You still going off that, the Dolphins?
Yeah, man. That's when I was looking at my call, and I've got a big question mark after wooden spooners. Maybe it should be right next to where I wrote the Titans, because, yeah, I don't know if Dez has already broken off the doors of that Agile Stone and installed him when he's there, because, yeah, it's quite hard to kind of predict where you go from this. Good to see Jaden Campbell back there trying to do some stuff, but, yeah. Hard to pick what went wrong with Akeith. They just got for fade, and you can't really say it's in the forwards or the backs. I think it's both. Yeah, not looking good for the Titans. Not even sure. We'll have a look at who they got next week. And they come up against the Cowboys next week, so I think it's more Queensland.
Yeah, that could be another fucking, you know, after Cowboys got beaten.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to come back strong next week, man, and fussy them again.
Yeah, unfortunate for the Titans. It could go that way. All right, moving into Sunday, the nice kick off our Sunday with the Warriors playing at Go Media Stadium at home against the Knights, picking up a nice, decent win there. A lot to like from the Warriors. I guess we're talking about depth, you know, losing some key players, lost our starting fullback, so we had to move to our third string fullback. Didn't do too bad at the back there, the young fella there, RTS. So,
oh, is he your third string?
Third string fullback at the moment, mate. You know, that's the depth that we've got in our positions. Chanel Harris-Tavita getting on, scoring. I think it was a real gutsy win from the Warriors, just seeing them fighting a hard battle. You know, it was one of those games, I guess, just real high percentage, you know, from both teams, you know, getting a bit, I guess you could say it's boring, but it's just that arm wrestle of, you know, trying to see who breaks first. I think it was real interesting to watch. Just seeing them grind, getting into that kind of game as well, knowing how to start well. You know, I thought they were going to go on with it. There was a few little errors still in their game. So, again, round four. So those things are still a lot of time to tidy up. I don't know. What do you think? Looked like a hard day at the office for Ponga.
Ross, that was an entertaining game, bro. No, I didn't find it boring at all, man. I think both teams... Oh, you mentioned Ponga. I mean, yeah, he had a hard day at the office because the rest of his team were gaya, man. Like, it was a bit of a one-man team. But that first 20 minutes was really cool to watch because both fullbacks kind of open up the defenses,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Ponga with his ball nice playing, break, bro. Yeah. Really read the defenses coming up. Warriors were up and in quite fast to start their game, bro. And
he saw it every
that
time.
Was a bit of a pity. With the Knights just couldn't finish off or capitalize on those opportunities, bro. The wingers, he hit the wingers in open space. They got chased down, but like just after that, like having the ball in good areas, they just couldn't capitalize, bro. It's probably a testament to the Warriors' defense. And then watching RTS with his fucking bringing the ball back, his carries, solid. How good, man!
Yeah,
it was like power versus skill, eh? Like, and they both got speed. But just the
different
step
way
and
of
the
getting
power.
Through, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, just watching that, you know, that these fullbacks are excitement machines. Yeah, one just fast, and one just footwork and power through the middle.
So that one, that RTS brought back, he stepped like four people and then he bowled over.
That's right. Yeah, just went straight.
What's his
on.
Name? Number 13.
Heads up
forward.
Elliot.
Which Adam Elliot, bro? Which isn't hard to do, bro. This guy's a tackling machine. Yeah, so it was high quality game, bro. Like Knights, I don't think they showed anything too much on offense. They're all a little bit disappointing in that outside of Ponga, they really had not much attacking. They couldn't. Ponga was doing all the setting up. You know, he was setting it up. You know, and he needs to be, like, for them to be dangerous, he needs to be the one being put into the gaps. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Gamble and Hoga
yeah,
can get Ponga into space,
yeah,
then they can, like, start. Whereas at the moment, their really only ways to open teams up is having Ponga come first receiver on that blind side, and you can see when he works his pass, he can really pick the right man. In terms of the Warriors, bro, good win. Good solid win. And almost a little bit like last week. You know, they're a better team than 20 points, man. They can really, I think they left a few tries out there.
Yeah.
Big talking point for me, and I think for the whole league world, is that I think the coach got asked about RTS and, you know, how it's going to be, put a bit of pressure on Chance Nickel Klokstad when he's, I think he played for the lower grades, so he's due back, if not this week, the week after. But he said he was, like, staying true to his preseason call, which was Sean's going to be our fullback in RTS, which I know your view, you're probably going to stay solid to that, but solid, bro. Like, fucking Sunday was just another glimpse of what RTS can do, bro. Like, how can you not? This guy is a superstar, bro. And, like, he doesn't get the chance at centre to roam, bro. So are you still going to stand by that? Or do you think he's been doing an injustice of just kind of hiding him in the centres?
I was thinking about this today, and I agree with Andrew. The only person who could stop Roger from playing in the centres and starting him at fullback is Adam Pompey. But he's not doing enough to keep Roger out of there. You can't just move him into fullback because the other fullbacks are there. And unless Pompey is stepping up, and Rocco Berry was all over that game. Unless I'm hearing Pompey.
You're looking at this the whole wrong way, man.
No, obviously you're looking at it like everyone else is. From inside the Warriors,
I'm looking at it like,
this is what makes sense.
I'm looking at it because he's the best fullback in your team. You don't agree?
No. Oh, well, I reckon he's the best fullback and centre in our team. But exactly. I'd rather have him on the field and centre, backing up his fullback, because he's always going to be there.
You don't think Sean should go centre? He's played for the Kiwis at centre.
Oh, I think he's awesome fullback.
Better than Roger? Well, I'll ask you a straight-up question, bro. Who's the better fullback, Nickel Klokstad or Roger?
Roger. Who's the better centre, Roger or Adam Pompey?
Well, they can both do a job, bro. Oh.
So are we going to answer questions like that? Who's the better centre?
No. Well, I thought obviously RTS is better than Pompey. But well, then. Who do you think is a better centre, RTS or Klokstad?
RTS.
So if you got he can cement both positions, why not put him at a position which is the most demanding and the most damaging spot where you can do more damage against the opposition, bro, at fullback.
Because look at the centres running around at the moment. How many of them are top class? Probably maybe 5 or 6 out of a whole comp. And so if you put Roger in a position where he's not currently the best, by the end of the season, he's going to be the best centre going around. I guess that's the challenge for Roger. That's a big call, but when you see Roger being the best centre and at the end of the round, at the end of the season, then it's a masterstroke.
Yeah, he can be the best centre, but how about winning games? Can he win games from centre? I don't know.
Nickel Klokstad.
He can win you games from fullback.
Oh, Nickel Klokstad's got it at the back. Mate, you don't understand the way the progression works, man.
Man.
So, there's an outsider looking in, obviously.
If the coach, no, this is just, and I'm a fan of Nickel Klokstad. He's an international fullback as well. And the way he's come back from being on the outer at Raiders, inspirational. But suddenly, we are talking about a superstar. We're talking about someone who's gone around, won premierships, and at fullback, where the one position where it's like, this is where you put your superstar, at fullback, bro, where you can touch the ball more often, bro, where you can put your mark on games. You can't at centre, bro.
So I guess it's both an experiment, but would you prefer the experiment of Chance at centre and Roger at fullback?
It's not an experiment, bro. I just put your best player in the best spot that he can make do damage. And that's why I think RTS should be at centre. And then you look at the next makeup of your the rest of your positions, and then you go, yeah, you know what? Against Pompey, Nicol Klokstar is definitely a better player. So you put him at centre.
So would you play Joey Manu at fullback over Teddy?
Nah, because Teddy's a better fullback.
Oh, I guess we'll just have to see.
I guess Teddy's a better fullback. That's why he's at fullback. If Teddy was injured and they had Nicol Klokstar, they had Nicol Klokstar at Roosters and Joey Manu available, who the fuck you think they'd put at fullback? Joey Manu. Because he's the best player, and put him in the best position that he can make his mark the game.
Fair point. I guess the season will dictate.
Well, it's going to be pressure on the coach, because you can't just make a standout call like that. You've got to assess. And assessing the last two games, he won you guys the game last week, and he had an outstanding game this week, bro. So, like,
I guess the coach has seen something on the training field we haven't, so I'm trusting in the coach. He hasn't led us wrong yet.
Yeah. Watch the space, bro. All it takes for another couple of losses, two more losses, and they're like, oh, yeah. We'll put RTS at fullback, eh?
Maybe. All right. Let's move on to the Sharks getting up against the Raiders. Probably a must-win for both teams, coming off some probably disappointing losses for both of them the week before. Yeah, I like the Sharks. I like their structure they've been playing with. They're one team you mentioned, like the Broncos. They're one team that I see don't play that same mold. Everyone seems to play, you know, safe in their red zones, and then start attacking from within the opposition 30. But man, yeah, the Sharks go from anywhere. I like the way, Hines just moves that team around. But the Raiders disappointing after last week. Xavier Savage, especially.
Bro, to land in six tries after starting the season off as one of those teams that are real dogged in defense. And fucking, you know what I love about Raiders losses is Ricky Stewart's
press conference.
Yeah, bro, and he was ripping in, man. But, yeah, another hard one to assess, like, because the Raiders are poor, Sharks is one of those teams that, you know, if you're poor on defense, they got the attack to really make you pay, eh? So, you know, that was a good opportunity for the Sharks to come back after a tough loss last week. But yeah, bro, I admittedly watched the replays, the shorts, but the Sharks did what they had to do, and they've got an awesome attacking team. They can put that together with some tough defense. They'll be a team to be reckoned with, but they also let in, four tries.
Yeah, from easy. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's hard to tell where these two teams are at when they're letting in anything over three tries. It's a bit like, man, comes finals. Finals teams are really defensive orientated. So, It's a reminder of what the Sharks can do, bro, and it's a bit of a disappointment what the Raiders are capable of, but more than that, bro.
Yeah, you're right. It just seemed a bit messy from Raiders. Probably one thing that did stand out, and it was interesting to see Rapana, probably one of the main hotheads, and Xavier Savage lost the ball in one of the plays just getting up, and, you know, he realized he had lost it, but he's just trying to start mouthing off, and And Rapana came over, and he was the one who kind of stopped him and hold him back, kind of getting him to calm down, you know, get back in the game. So, yeah, quite interesting for an old head like him, who's pretty much that guy, to be stopping
him. Well, it was his 200th game, bro. So congratulations to him, man.
Ah, there we go. He's learned something in those 200 games.
Yeah. But, like, I wouldn't call him a hothead. He's he plays hard.
Passionate. Eh? Yeah, he plays tough.
He plays tough, bro. And he's not, he just doesn't back down, bro. So if you give it to him verbally, he'll give it back. But he is one of those guys you see, if they make an error, he'll, like, he'll push ahead and start mocking you.
Yeah, yeah, hard out.
I don't see a problem with that. I don't like players that are cheap shots or third man in talking shit. I like one-on-one talking shit. That's good, bro. That's all right if you don't cross the line racially. But congrats to Jordan Rapana, man. And I don't know if you remember when he first came in. I think he maybe played a year or a handful of games, but then he had to go on his Maamonga mission there. So,
oh, true. Did he go away and do a mission?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely at least a couple of years there out of first grade.
Oh, true.
So, you know, he would have been playing up to and over 250 games already.
Yeah, yeah.
But big ups to him, bro, to where he is now. He kind of been like 3 or 4 years ago in and out of, well, not in and out, but just on the cusp of
cementing. Yeah, he's moved around. Yeah, he's, you know, moved to wherever he needed to move to play. So,
bro, but now he's cemented that number one spot, bro, which is awesome. He's a player, like, he's got a fucking a bag full of tricks, man. He's got everything, eh?
Yeah, he's still
big ups to Jordan Rapana, man. I love
players. Nice rap. Like
just a mongrel, man, in the backs.
All right. Rounding out the round, the game Monday, Easter Monday game just finished. The Eels going down to the Tigers. All of us went straight Eels on this one. Gritty Tigers. Man, I didn't even know whose home game this was. Looked like a Tigers home game, by the way. The crowd was going
off. It was the Eels. Was it the Eels home ground? Which is
Combank. Damn.
Tigers have
the crowd sounded like Tigers. Yeah, a lot of Tigers.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, bro. Tigers have three home grounds, and I think that's one of them as well. But it was definitely the Eels home ground, bro. So it was a good game, man. Yeah. Good to see the Tigers.
Olam picking up a double.
Hmm.
And he is just looking beast for them at the moment.
They're definitely on the up, man. They've got a good mixture of young players coming through. I mean, if they can play like this, that's the challenge for them. They've had a couple of weeks of really good, consistent performances, bro. And, like, win or lose, you want them to play at this level at the very minimum, bro. And good on Benji, man, for getting them up because – you know, like I said, they got a respectable roster, but probably don't have the guns as other rosters do, bro. So, on paper, bro, these guys were nothing compared to Eels. Eels had the names, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So, other than Mitchell Moses out, you know, it was
Moses out.
17, that was probably the biggest out for them.
But still, you would think, like, hardly any of the punters were picking Tigers. So,
especially when you see that Ford pack with RCG and Polo both there.
Yes, so that was exactly
the thing. Everyone's looking, going, "Oh, yeah, it must be the Eels all day with this." But man,
there's a good young teams in their pack for the Tigers, bro. I mean, they've still got their stalwarts. That's the thing about Tigers. I think they really underperformed last year, considering they had good names there of I was going to say journeyman. That's a bit of a
Clemmer. Clemmer stood up.
Yeah, Clemmer. The Clemmer's still got some picture on the tank, but look, bro. They got Otoi Kamanu, who's a Origin player. Papalini, he's
I lost him from my fantasy team, and now I need him back. he's been gone at the moment.
Fanua Bolle is awesome. So, Kepao, when he comes off the bench, bro, sort of this guy's sacky, man. Fainu, so some good old Cams was mentioning. It would be interesting to see, like, the makeup of Islanders in your team and like
true, which team has the most one,
which just was going through that Penrith, roster. Maybe close to 50%. Looking at this Tigers team, definitely over 50%. Man, look at this forward, Uto Kamanu,
8 of the 13,
Roy Sal, Papali'i, Bulle, and then Kepao and Fanu off the bench. And you look at their back line, they got Tupou and Solomona Fatape on the center. I don't know too much about him, but Olam is PNG. We'll steal him. Bulle at the back. So that's well over 50% in their team, bro. So
Eden says
on that basis, bro, you got to get behind those walls here, man.
Man, yeah, they probably got the numbers there for the Pacific team when, like Cams was saying. But yeah, just good to see those young guys connecting. That Lachlan Galvin, man, up he stood up, eh? Just that 10-minute period without him, you know, they could have been man. Under the pump. Mm. But just, you know, just that game management, having someone like Uppy, you know, just that level head.
Yeah. It reminds me of what Cam Smith can do. He can control the game from dummy half, bro. It's not an easy thing to do, but he does it, man. And not only with the way he works the ball around the paddock, but fuck his defense, man. He still leads the way on D, bro. And he can hit, man. Like, he can get under people's arms. Get in the red basket, bro, and hit like textbook hits. So, yeah, man. Fuck, I hope for their sake, man, they can keep rolling and keep performing on that level, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just his ability to keep the tempo of the game, like you said, like Cam Smith. You see how he pulls them up, like when they're on attack, he's like pulling them up and tells them, you know, when he wants to run. And then it's almost like he lets Galvin make the last call. And that Galvin kid, man, he's pretty, just real positive, eh? Just for a young kid, second game, he's, man, he gives it a go. He's not really scared. That second try he put on. Just the confidence to throw that ball to get inside and then throw that outside ball. So, yeah, real good win to the Tigers, like you said.
Do you think with Luai coming next year that they'll play Luai as a seven, be the main man to lead the team around the pack and then keep that Galvin fella in because he's a West Tigers junior? Or that's a straight swap for him, get Luai in there and, you know, Caesar there at halfback or... We'll give the team a few more weeks to make that call, or the rest of the year to make that call.
Nah, I think Luai has to go straight into seven. I think they need to start the year fresh with him, you know, kind of dominant. That's his role. Let Galvin continue the way he is. You know, I think, especially Uppy coming from the Panthers, I think him and Luai will have that good combination around, you know, how to lead it, you know, whether Uppy takes the lead or Luai. I think that's quite good because he can share it there. And then basically Galvin continues just to be the playmaker and run when he wants to. All right, anything else came out from the round? Man, it's a quick turnaround. Not too much controversy throughout the games that I saw. Not many head knocks either. Nothing that kind of stood out.
Nah, but your favorite tackle you like to talk about last year come...
The hip drop. That's caught what Galvin went out for, eh? Galvin got caught up for that.
Yeah.
That was the one.
They definitely caught the one in the Titans and Dolphins game. I think it was Plath that got Simbin. He's definitely looking at some time off the field. But there was one that someone got away with in the Penrith game. I forgot who it was, but the thing about the hip drop is that, like, and people commenting this online, I don't think you have to land on the legs for it to be a hip drop. I think the action of it. If you are not supporting your weight and you put and bring people down by lifting your own, you know, like bringing your weight down. Yeah. And sometimes you can see people lift their own legs up and really bring them down. You don't have to land on the ball runner's legs for it to be hip drop. You can do damage alone just fucking doing an ACL by doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that whole action of wrapping your thing around someone's waist and then pulling down, that should be outlawed, bro, because fucking keep the tackles as it is, bro. Drive your shoulder, keep your feet on the ground, and drive through, bro. That's how we taught.
Yeah, because I guess that's the thing. It's obviously a technique they've taught, like, little halfbacks and hookers to, You know, if you're small, you know, just use your body weight and try and momentum.
It's almost like a judo thing.
Almost like a wrestling.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, dangerous, like you're saying. Like, just put the shoulder in and just keep it simple and you get bowled over. At least you'll be a judder bar for someone else to come and finish off the tackle.
So I hope these guys look at
Stacey Jones, all those little guys, that's how they used to do it. Just, sorry, you're going to get bumped or you're going to be like a little speed bump, but you're helping out your team.
I understand those guys doing it, but they're so light that they ain't going to do any damage.
Yeah, when you get your 13s and your middles doing the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bro. Over 100 kilos pulling you down.
Like a taut
I hope these guys get fucking at least 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what your history is, you should get, it should be mandatory, like 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've got to, because that's the thing, these games, they just find different things and the rules have to ebb and flow based on it during the week by week. So, I hope they crack down on it quick because, it's a worse thing than these accidental head clashes to see it starts creeping back into the game. Especially with a lot of injuries boys are carrying at the moment. All right. Moving right along. So who stood out to you this round? Who's probably your team of the round and player of the round?
I'm going to say team of the round, Tigers, bro, with that upset win.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't want to say player. There's plenty of players that stood up. But if I can say moment of the round, we've got to mention this when we were reviewing the Broncos game, bro. But that Thomas Dearden, that chase down on Cobbo. Oh. That's a player of the round right there, bro. Man. Cobbo, you could argue.
He was doing a lot of work, though. But yeah, to chase down Cobbo, bro, that was a try all day for Cobbo. And man.
And like the Dearden, size of Cobbo, and then the size of Dearden.
Yeah.
And then
especially to finish off that tackle, one thing to get there.
Yeah. And then the last 5-10 meters. The last 5-10 meters of that tackle, bro, Dearden just like went another gear, man.
Yeah.
And, like, used the momentum to aqua him out, bro.
Should have been a try, but you're right. Oh, that was a moment of the round.
Yeah, that's moment of the round. I don't know, bro. It's a hard one to pick a player, bro. You got anyone?
Yeah, I have actually got. I went with Sunia Taruva with his hat trick. Awesome finisher, and probably just a shout out, top try scorer, and. Top point scorer for D's Nuts. So I'd like to welcome Taruva to the D's Nuts NFL draft fantasy team, mate. Thanks for being in the team. You're one of my most outstanding backs for this round.
What is it? So
good work, mate. 70, bro.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of the our fantasy teams, let's go do a wrap, see how the guys are doing. Danny Phipps, mate, must have heard you from last week putting him down about being down the bottom. He takes out the reigning champ, Tamakalava Mandingo.
Really?
Yeah, 648, 636.
Oh, 648.
Hopgood as captain, 130 points. But yeah, Bronx, disappointing, mate, up against Clutch City. Clutch City.
Scoreline?
Yeah, 680 to your 495. You didn't even make it to the 500 club, mate.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't had
disappointing captain change there in Dominic Young. Sean Johnson scoring you a handsome 59, your usual captain. Kalen Ponga, wondering what you're doing with Dom Young when he's 72, mate. Sam Verrill's in at hooker. Is wondering where Wade Egan is when you threw him on the dump. You threw him on the request RFA pile. And now Sam Verrill's is scoring you a handsome 17.
Verrill's going to fucking New South Wales Cup. I had a few disappointments. In a losing team, right? The Sharks in the losing team. Talakai scores 14 points, bro. 14 points. Yeah, there's just some shockers in there, bro. That was my first loss of the season also. How did it go? Oh, Roger. Come on, man.
Ultimate Manly.
Winning ways, but.
Thought he was back, but no. Went
down.
Oh,
he had Cartwright in there, so he didn't even check.
All Madden going well again. So I think he's sitting handsome at the top of the table. Stacey took some of your tips last week, obviously. He's back in the winner's circle. This year or next, the Zals, 654 over in the Golden Elites.
What do you think about Golden Elites, bro? How's he travelling? I mean, he's quite busy in terms of the chat, but he's third. Fair enough. It was fair enough. He's up there.
He's just changed by week, bro. He's going to fail. He's going to fade out soon.
He's up there. But it looks like Clutch City official, he's a bit inconsistent, but I think he's going to be there or thereabouts this year, bro. Hey, what do you think?
Shorter roster this year as well. There's only 10 teams in our comp, so he's given himself every chance.
Top five or top four. Yeah, what about you? Oh, you got your second win, eh?
Got my second win, mate. Just easing into the rounds, mate. Early season.
Well, early days, mate. I don't know. There could be a count back, so we'll hold up about that one, mate. What's this, Dylan Walker? Oh, shocker. You didn't even check.
Who haven't? Yeah,
crucial. You didn't play. Dylan Walker, he didn't play,
Changed it on me.
You want me to get Cleary off your hands? He's not due back till May.
Yeah, bro, you can have him. I'll put him in the scrap heap.
Nah, but early days, bro. Like the competition, bro. It's the NRL comp. It's kind of early days, bro. Exactly. I'm going to make some serious changes to my team.
All right. So with last round, bro, you picked up 5 picks. I got a horrible 3. And Stacey picked up 4. Let's look ahead to this week's games. You guys kick off the weekend in, mate. Broncos versus Storm. I think this is up at Suncorp, mate. I think this is your guys' home ground, home game as well.
Oh, sick.
Amy. Actually, no, this is over at Storm. This is Melbourne. Thursday game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Team lists aren't out yet, but hopefully Adam Reynolds should be back.
Melbourne have been traveling really well, eh? I think there's a good chance. I think Broncos are on a roll now. So on the basis that Reynolds is going to be fit and healthy again, that is a week-to-week prospect. But I'm going to go with the upset here because Broncos are paying 236 outsiders. But I'm going to go Broncos for the win down there. And they don't have the best record. I think they got a shit record against the Storm. But I just felt like last week or week here just finished was a bit of a turnaround for the Broncos.
Interesting. I've gone with the Storm on this one. Like I said, teamless aren't out yet. Most likely that Jerome Hughes should be back. He took the mandatory 1 week. And Munster's still questionable. So might be good to see him hopefully run out at home for his first game back for the season. So I've gone on the Storm and a close one for this game as well. So that should be a good one. Touch and go with a lot of those players to see who plays. The next one is the Doggies and Roosters traditional grudge match. This one, both of them coming off losses. So, again, probably a measuring stick for both of these teams. How do you see this one going?
Oh, I think considering they lost and played poorly against the Roosters, against the Panthers, I'm expecting Roosters to come back strong, bro, and pile on the points and fussy them. So Roosters by 20 plus here, bro.
Oh. Yeah. Not convinced by the Rabbits. The Dogs, like you said, they did do well. Yeah, I'm going to go Roosters on this one, but probably close. Closer than probably most people will think. Just being one of those matches between these two teams. I think the Doggies will... They've been getting spanked by the Roosters a lot lately, so hopefully they'll put in some starch and put a game on for us. Finishing off that Friday night, the games, we've got the Knights against the Dragons. The Knights coming off a surprisingly good win. The Knights are Knights going down, sorry. And so the Dragons on top, playing over at McDonald's Jones Stadium. Your thoughts on this one? You're liking the Dragons at the moment. You're thinking they can go on against the Knights team that's desperate for a win?
This is a tough one to pick because, one, it's at Newcastle. I'm going to say the home ground advantage, and Dragons definitely probably got the form guide, but I'm going to say Knights.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to go Dragons on this one. Actually, the Knights last time at home really struggled to get that win against the Storm. I think the home crowd got them there. I guess that forward battle, the Dragons, like you kind of pointed out, have a pretty good middle there. And I think if they can go hard against the Knights, they might be able to pick up the win here against them at their home ground. So, yeah, that should be a good one. Just to gauge where the Dragons really are at, Stacey's Wooden Spooners. The Rabbits and Warriors. The Rabbits, you weren't convinced that they're looking like a top eight team. Do they get up for the Warriors?
Recent history suggests that Warriors have been fussy from the Rabbitohs. It's interesting, early days of the Warriors when they first come in, you know, everyone was fussy in the Rabbitohs, but as you know, recently Rabbitohs have been one of the top teams. Head to head, it's 21 wins to the Rabbitohs and 17 to the Warriors, with the Rabbitohs previous to our teams, you know, putting the boot into the Warriors. And saying that, this year is a different prospect. Warriors are a lot better than they have been the last couple of years, and if anything, the Rabbitohs have slid down. So even over there, both teams coming off a win, I'm going to say Warriors in a close one here.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going Warriors on this. I think they, yeah, especially with those kind of results, I think that's one thing that I'd like to see the Warriors is focused on their season, but also trying to turn the perspective around for a lot of their, the teams that they've traditionally lost to. So I think that'll be a good one for the Warriors to try and get up on. And again, continuing to measure where they're really at. And I think teams like the Rabbits are ones that doesn't matter how they're going. They're probably ones that the Warriors probably shouldn't sleep on. I guess the numbers and those score lines that you see, teams seem to always get up for the Warriors. I think it's one of those territorial tribal things that, you know, it's kind of, if you know, it's always been that way. You know, it's something that they need to kind of step up for and kind of show they deserve to wear that jersey. So, the Rabbits might be one of those lose the season, but at least they can walk away saying they beat the Warriors, so they might be those guys. So I think the Warriors should be ready, and it shouldn't be a shock to them that the Rabbits will come out strong on that one. Heading over to Manly versus the Panthers. The Panthers are looking silky at the moment, even without some of their stars. Manly disappointing in the last two starts. We were saying that they're looking the goods, looking the real deal. Stacey had them moving back into his eight against the Panthers. What are your thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, bro. I'm actually going to go out on a limb here and say Manly for this one. I think the last couple of weeks, they'll be up for this game. Not by much, but home ground advantage and Saturday afternoon game, I think it'll be a drier weather ground, so Manly, a hard and fast ground, so Manly, who are awesome attacking team, I think they'll bounce back, bro, and this will be the upset of the round, Buzz.
Oh, a big call, Manly over the Panthers, eh? Were you expecting their points to come from?
Well, you know, obviously the team missed on out, but I just think their halves and Turbo at the back, they can really turn it on, and a lot will come down on how the Manly forward pack can contain Penrith's forward pack. Penrith definitely have enough ball and enough field position, but if Manly can defend and defend well, I think they got the attack to break that Panthers' defensive system. So I don't know, man. Like, common sense says Panthers, but
nice.
I like a smoky, bros. I'm a risk taker.
Manly as a smoky. Out, That's all right. Speaking of Smokies, Dolphins and Tigers, this should be a nice little matchup here.
Yeah,
good measure up for these guys as well.
Interesting one, bro. I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this one. That's at Suncorp Stadium, so they'll get a bit of support there. But that's going to be a close one as well, bro. Last year's game, Tigers took it out by 1 point. So, you know, head-to-head's only one game, and it was Tigers won it by one point. So I think on form, Dolphins are looking the better team. But
I'm liking this game. This is one of those, I guess, especially with the Tigers and you know, their results over the last couple of years, and the Dolphins coming in as the new guys. So for them to win that must have meant a lot last year. So I think it's one of those games that could become something almost like the promotion relegation round for the Tigers if they continue the way. As long as they kind of keep winning, this game might be the game they aim up for. So, yeah, I'm picking the Tigers on this one. Nice. Two on the trot already, so I think they might aim up and try and get the win against Bennett for this as well. Another game, another Queensland derby. Cowboys and Titans. Cowboys disappointing against the Bronx. Titans just get disappointing all around. I don't know if Dez's boys can do much to kind of go any other way than the Cowboys for this. I don't know what you're expecting from the Titans. What are you hoping that you'd see from the Titans at least on this game?
And they're like $5.30 outsiders here. I'm expecting a better performance, but I just think Cowboys got a lot too much firepower for the Titans. It's bad news that they got the Cowboys coming off a bad loss against the Bronx. So I think I'm gonna feel the pain as a result, bro. And it's at Townsville as well. So I haven't seen too much from the Titans to suggest that, you know, they're gonna bring it up, bring it back. So yeah, man, I don't know. It's going to be 40 points to the Cowboys, bro, in this one.
Yeah. Who know? I'm not sure exactly. Like I was saying, the Cowboys have been a bit messy. Maybe if Kieran can kind of work hard in the middle there and with the Titans. Maybe a bit more running from Fifita, freeing him up a bit. Dearden's defense has been top notch though, so I think that's one thing that they've kind of benefited from is in their middles. It's not the usual small halfback that you can run straight at. Maybe some breakout plays from Jaden Campbell, but yeah, I'm currently struggling to figure out where the points are going to come from the Titans. So I've just got Cowboys on that one. And to finish out the round, Raiders and the Eels. Raiders will be real disappointed losing that last one against the Sharks. The Eels also, without Mitchell Moses, no reason why they shouldn't have been able to hold on to that game. So both reeling from their losses. Who do you think needs to win this one more?
I'm going to say Raiders because they're the kind of team that they got to get early wins, man, here in the season to really make a – I think Eels is one of these teams that can go on a run. And they got the roster – full of a few stars in there and guys that's been around, whereas Raiders, like we mentioned
it before. It's a team of workhorses pretty much.
Yeah, they really have to – pull teams down to their level and really turn it into an arm wrestle. So I'm kind of going to go out on a limb here and say Raiders again, who are favourites because it's a Sunday game in their home ground. Tough one to pick, but I'm going to say Raiders, bro, because they played so poorly this week. I think Sticky Stewart will be up then, bro, and they'll be keen to put on a better show.
Yeah, so I'm going the opposite. I'm going the Eels, probably on the point of that, like just going with the points. just trying to play kind of maybe a bit more expensive and just outscore the Raiders. I think the Eels can do the hard stuff when they need to. But yeah, I reckon that they'll get out to an early lead and then just try and play an expensive game and then try and hold on to that lead, I think, at the end of the game. So yeah, I guess it's anyone's round five coming in quick, but yeah, a lot of the teams starting to shape up. I don't think there's any definite move. Has anyone shocked you so far in the last four rounds?
Yeah, I'd say Tigers. I think Tigers and Dragons, they're definitely playing above what we saw from them. And just the underperformance of the Bunnies. But there's a different sense of evening up in the competition. At the same time, man, there's a different gap that Panthers are slowly putting in. Just that performance against the Roosters just kind of just was a fucking a call out for the rest of the comp, eh? Man, we lost our two best players, but ain't a thing. Yeah. And it's just fucking fussy, the Roosters.
That is, big call.
And I was picking Roosters at the same level as the Panthers. They definitely got the players and now they're playing well. But, man, it was, I want to say, disappointing, because it was the Panthers that were kind of responsible for not allowing the Roosters to play their natural game. So, it's no surprising with the Panthers. And I think the rest of the comp is still yet to play their best. 40 Eels. At the other end of the table, I think out of all the teams, maybe Titans is the most disappointing. We're hard to see this team improving.
Yeah.
But definitely the Doggies, Dragons, and Tigers.
All aiming up there, yeah.
Have proved that, you know, they're capable of coming off the bottom and making that middle road there. So, pretty absorbing stuff, Wolves. Plenty to see. But yeah, man, the competition just keeps rolling by, giving us some good matches and quite even evened out comp at the moment, man.
Nice, Wolves. Good wrap. That's us, bro. That's another good episode. Nice quick turnaround. Any final parting words, mate?
Nah. All good. I just want to keep just plugging our socials, man. If you're on Insta or TikTok, man, get to the West account and check out all the socials they pump out there. We also got any Facebook users, man. We've got a specific 135 Footy Show page there. So if you haven't already, man, check it out, the page. And if you are, bro, in there and you're a member of that page, man, check up some stuff that we can talk up, any talking points from the weekend, any things that, any topics that you might find interesting that we can add to our Talanoana. That'll be awesome, bro. But that's all, man. Just to plug the social media. Everyone's, that's the way of the world these days, bro.
Yeah.
But don't read the comments if they're toxic. And if you do, then let it get to you.
Nice, Wolves. All right. Thanks for tuning in. You can catch us on all your streaming, where you find all your streaming, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thanks for tuning in. Check out all the other podcasts on the WesWesNet.com or our Facebook and Instagram pages. So for what? It was.
Wolves.